Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area.
It's 29 and mostly cloudy. Mostly cloudy tonight with a low in the low 30s. Then tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the low 50s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the low 40s.
From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 6 a.m.
Because our regularly scheduled program was not available at broadcast time, we bring you the following special presentation.
Hello, this is Andrew Osborne at the TIC Radio Network in Marshfield, Massachusetts, reading today from Bloomberg Business Week. First article, Democracy Needs a Good Bureaucracy, subtitled, President-elect Biden must repair the tremendous harm done to the U.S. government under Trump and begin to build a modern, expertly led civil service. And the author of this article is Ramesh Ratnasar, R-A-T-N-E-S-A-R. Typically, the start of a presidential administration is filled with expectation. Victorious campaign staffers arrive in Washington to claim jobs at federal agencies. Lobbyists commandeer hotel ballrooms for breakfast buffets with incoming power brokers. Magazines assign fashion photographers to do shoots of the West Wing's newest inhabitants. The mood won't be quite so heady this time. When Joseph R. Biden takes the oath of office on January 20, 2021, he will inherit the gravest national crisis faced by any new president in the past 75 years. Although a vaccine for the coronavirus is ready for initial use, infections are likely to remain rampant as Americans endure a winter crowded indoors. Tens of millions will still be out of work, and many children may not have returned to the classroom. Members of the president's own staff may be forced to work remotely for months, even as they begin taking action on policy priorities ranging from health care and climate change to trade and nuclear arms control. Then there is the less obvious but perhaps even more daunting challenge, rebuilding a government after 4 years of the damage done by Donald Trump, whose assault on the administrative state has demoralized greatly federal workers and chased away thousands of career civil servants, the very specialists best suited to help the country find a way out of its current morass. America's calamitous pandemic response has exposed the costs of Trump's war on expertise. We've got a number of broken agencies that desperately need repair, says Paul Light, a professor of public service at New York University and a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. Biden's half-century of experience in Washington, including 8 years in the executive branch, makes him uniquely qualified to lead the Reconstruction of America project. Depoliticizing federal agencies, restoring bureaucratic morale, and strengthening accountability for political officials will be among his immediate priorities. But the new president should also seize the opportunity to push through long overdue reforms to make the government more nimble and more dynamic. In the spirit of candidate Biden's campaign slogan, here are five imperatives to, quote, build back better. 1. Empower the scientists. On November 9, the president-elect announced the creation of a council of advisors on the coronavirus, made up of prominent physicians, infectious disease experts, and former federal public health officials. By elevating scientific voices, Biden sent an important signal of change among all of the Trump administration's failures in grossly mishandling the pandemic, none has proved more corrosive than the undermining of government scientists, notably Dr. Anthony Fauci, the top infectious disease specialist. White House officials have exerted pressure on the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the Food and Drug Administration to influence public health guidance and speed up therapeutic drug trials and the pace of vaccine approvals. Trump has personally defied medical professionals and went on to spread false information about testing. COVID-19 fatality rates and alleged cures for the disease. The effect has been to heighten mistrust on all sides about public health officials' pronouncements, making it even harder to defeat the pandemic, especially after Trump's nutty ideas about how to cure the disease. These organizations, the CDC and the FDA, were once the envy of the rest of the world, says Ali Nouri, president of the Federation of American Scientists. The gold standard agencies have now become totally politicized under Donald Trump, and that's done tremendous damage that's going to take a long time to repair, he says. The erosion of the government's scientific knowledge base extends beyond agencies focused on the pandemic. The administration has marginalized career employees at the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration, which collects data related to climate change, and replaced the agency's top scientists with a climate change denier. It's forced dozens of top scientists out of government, including the head of mineral resources research at the U.S. Geological Survey and the archaeologist at the National Park Service, who was responsible for protecting historic public sites from the effects of climate change. A May 2020 survey by the Environmental Data and Governance Initiative found that because of budget cuts and neglectful and disdainful treatment of career staff at the EPA, more than one quarter of those with relevant expertise in environmental science had left the agency since 2016. The exodus of government scientists will hamper the nation's ability to respond to pandemics and climate-related natural disasters. Biden can start to undo the damage by coaxing departed experts to return to government, if they're willing, in part by taking advantage of one of Trump's more sensible reforms, which allows agencies to rehire former workers at a slightly higher pay grade. Biden should also reinstate hundreds of advisory committees Trump totally eliminated, Nouri says, and combat the spread of scientific disinformation on social media, which is contributing to the worsening of the pandemic. The next administration really needs to establish a central infrastructure to fight health-related and specifically COVID-19-related disinformation, because we know that disinformation is killing people, he says. Restoring public confidence in scientific authorities will be crucial to the task of distributing a coronavirus vaccine, the success of which may determine the course of Biden's presidency. Now that a vaccine is approved, people will need to know how safe it is, says Paul Weinstein, a professor of public management at Johns Hopkins University and former Clinton administration official. The government should focus on transparency. People should be able to see the data. How all of that is managed is going to be critical. If you run the process well, you can go a long way toward rebuilding public trust in the United States government. 2. Bring back the career staff. The hollowing out of scientific expertise is emblematic of a wider crisis. Across the entire federal bureaucracy, Trump's push has been to discredit and marginalize and remove career employees, and it has been ruthlessly effective. During the first year of his administration alone, the attrition rate among members of the senior executive service, the government's most experienced employees, climbed 82%. Compared with previous presidents, Trump has installed a disproportionately high number of his own appointees, most of them totally unqualified, into leadership roles in key agencies at the expense of the very qualified civil servants who were there. At the Department of State, all Assistant Secretary of State positions are currently occupied by acting officials, buddies, and political appointees. More than half of ambassadorships are held by political appointees rather than by career diplomats, nearly double the average rate of previous administrations. In addition to greatly hurting staff morale, Trump's reliance on loyalists and buddies and pals and family has caused institutional instability. According to a Brookings Institution study, the Trump administration has seen a 91% turnover in the most influential executive branch jobs, more than any of the five most recent predecessors. The leadership chaos and sidelining of experienced staff have accelerated government breakdowns under Trump, from the shambolic response to Hurricane Maria in 2017 to an immigration policy that has left more than 600 children separated from their parents and caged for close to 3 years, that to the COVID crisis. At the start of the pandemic, more than half of the 70 highest-ranking positions involved in the pandemic response were either unfilled or occupied by acting officials, and again, personal pals. Brookings Light says high-profile federal debacles have become more common over the past 30 years, in part because of the increase in transient, underqualified political appointees filling very important policy-making roles. There are now at least 4,000 executive branch jobs reserved for political appointees, double the number in the 80s and far more than in any other advanced democracy. Biden should consciously reverse that trend, Light says. There is always pent-up demand for appointments, and this administration will be no different. It's a perfectly reasonable instinct to put your people in charge, and your buddies in charge, and the people you owe money to in charge. But you've got to avoid the temptation to match Trump pound for pound in terms of political appointees. Max Steer, head of the Nonpartisan Partnership for Public Service, points to Fauci as the embodiment of the kind of public servant whom Biden should entrust with greater decision-making responsibilities. If you really want to reform the government, you need to have good ideas, but you also need to execute them effectively, Steer says. The career workforce is not the enemy. In fact, it's the starting point. 3. Let the watchdogs do their work. Among the most fateful early decisions confronting the new president will be whether to investigate his predecessor or hold him accountable by other means, such as a September 11-style truth commission. Regardless of how Biden chooses to handle allegations against Trump, he should take steps to strengthen rules around financial disclosure and transparency, and reinforce norms against using the levers of government for great personal gain. There is so much distrust of everything now, thanks to Trump, says Weinstein, the former Clinton official. It's going to be important for Biden to say, there are a set of rules, and we're going to follow those rules, and we're going to enforce those rules. And that includes defining and reinforcing the correct role of the White House in relationship to the federal agencies. His administration should make clear that it will submit to rigorous oversight from Congress and watchdogs inside and outside of the government. It can endorse legislation backed by congressional Democrats that would expand whistleblower protections for federal workers and protect them against retaliation if they file Freedom of Information Act requests in an effort to expose misconduct. Also critical will be the reinvigorating the offices of federal inspectors general, the independent watchdogs that probe and publicize cases of official waste and fraud and abuse and cronyism. Earlier this year, Trump fired all of the inspectors general at four different agencies without giving Congress 30 days notice or any sort of explanation, which is required by law. As a first step, Biden can call on Congress to hold hearings on the motives for Trump's dismissal of the inspectors general, and he should then reinstigate the watchdogs and allow them to resume their work. Trump has had total disregard for the laws that are in place regarding such firings. Number 4. Modernize the government. The 2 million person federal bureaucracy has actually grown under Trump, but it's reached senescence. Only 6% of workers are under the age of 30, whereas 44% are 50 or older. One-third of employees will be eligible for retirement in 2033, and the figure is twice as high for members of the senior executive service. Meanwhile, agencies are struggling to recruit qualified talent to fill their needs. 83% of federal departments report staffing shortages, and 63% say their employees are lacking of critical skills, according to the Partnership for Public Service. This crisis has been brewing for years, and it won't be solved simply by changing the occupant in the Oval Office. Experts such as Steer point to the government's flawed hiring process, which relies on a cumbersome, opaque job posting system. Even if a job hunter figures out how to submit their application successfully, it takes 100 days or more to receive a government job offer, more than twice as long as it takes in the private sector. And once inside the bureaucracy, younger workers find inadequate mentorship and support, and this leads to high rates of attrition. Where do you begin? Streamlining background checks, expanding internship programs, and recruiting on college campuses, even virtually, can help agencies attract younger talent. So would fixing the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program, which promises student debt relief for those who pursue careers in government. It is so rife with complexities that only 1% of those eligible for loan forgiveness actually apply for and receive it. The scale of the challenges facing the Biden administration will require systemic organizational change. We have a legacy government that has not kept pace with the world around it. Whether you're talking about pandemics or cyber attacks or economic meltdowns, Steer says, we should understand that this is the world we're in, And what we know is these problems will not slow down. If anything, they will accelerate and proliferate. Effectively dealing with emerging threats requires a different kind of workforce, one that's more agile and digitally native, draws on private sector expertise, and reflects the country's diversity. What you need is a much deeper shift in mindset, says Anna Marie Slaughter, Chief Executive Officer of New America, a Washington think tank, and former head of policy planning at the State Department. We need to go from operating like a 20th century corporation with this vast organization chart with different areas of responsibility to something more like a consulting firm where you have teams of experts from across the government that come together to form and to reform. Slaughter thinks Biden should work with Congress to reform the country's diplomatic corps, allowing foreign service officers to work in the private sector and opening up opportunities for Americans with specialized skill to do short-term assignments overseas. We have to be able to tap the full range of talent in our society to tackle the global issues we face, she says. And asking people to sign up for 30-year careers is just not going to do that. A model Biden can look to is the U.S. Digital Service, created by President Obama to rescue one of his biggest administrative failures, the botched rollout of healthcare.gov. Made up of technology industry veterans recruited for two-year tours in Washington, the agency has worked to improve the delivery of government services, saving taxpayers $3.8 billion over 5 years. One reason it has received consistent backing from the Trump White House and Republicans in Congress. Investing in an expansion of the USDS, United States Digital Service, and applying the legends of its success would be a strong signal of Biden's commitment to innovation, with the added virtue of drawing support from, believe it or not, both sides of the aisle. 5. Rejoin the world. The most complex reconstruction job awaiting Biden is the one he has focused on for much of his campaign: repairing America's global image and rallying like-minded countries to come together to solve common challenges. But the international landscape looks much different than it did 4 years ago when Biden departed the Vice President's residence at the U.S. Naval Observatory for the last time. Trump's hostility to multilateral organizations and his total disdain for traditional alliances have left the United States more isolated and less influential than it has been in 100 years. To deal with intensifying geopolitical conflict, the threat of nuclear proliferation, and the emergence of a more assertive China, the United States will need to shore up its relationships around the world. Yet even among America's allies, any assurances Biden provides will be treated with wariness. Why wouldn't it be, after the volatility of the Trump years? I don't think the world is ready for the United States to simply say, "We're back, everybody, let's buddy up again." We're going to have to be back in a different mode. It will be relatively easy to reactivate relationships. The question is, how are we going to lead? And the answer cannot just focus on how the United States government is going to lead, but how we lead along with a number of other countries, as well as our industries, our universities, our scientific establishment. Biden has pledged to rejoin a range of international bodies and agreements cast aside by Trump, including the World Health Organization, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the Paris Climate Accord. He should also reverse Trump's decision to not participate in COVAX, the global COVID vaccine purchasing pool that 180 countries, including China, have joined, but not the United States. Doing so, rejoining, is not only in the interest of global health, but would benefit American consumers by giving them access to vaccines being developed in other countries. This underscores a reality that is likely to remain true for the foreseeable future. If the country is going to get itself out of this awful mess, it is going to need to ask for help. Learning to accept the limits of American power is the first step toward recovering American power. Author Ratnasar is on the editorial board of Bloomberg Opinion. Next selected article dealing with Trump's trade legacy, subtitled "The Biden Administration Will Not Be Content Simply to Restore the Old Order." If Donald Trump has illustrated anything at all as president, it is that the post-war global economic order is more fragile than anyone ever thought. Think of America's trading relationships and rank in the world as a painstakingly assembled collection of delicate pottery that for generations has been a source of civic pride and envy from the neighbors. Oops, sorry for that little interruption. That's what happens when we're reading from home instead of in the TIC studios. Okay, back to where we were. I'm going to start this paragraph over again. The Biden administration will not be content simply to restore the old order. If Donald Trump has illustrated anything as president, it is that the post-war global economic order is more fragile than anyone thought. Think of America's trading relationships and rank in the world as a painstakingly assembled collection of delicate pottery that for generations has been a source of civic pride and envy from the neighbors. Trump and his deputies have been the raucous gang of teenagers barging their way through, smashing and leaving a trail of chipped and smashed artifacts. President-elect Joe Biden is the genial grandfather leading a new term brought in to mend whatever they can. The questions are now, how much will they be able to save, and how creative will they get in the reconstruction? The good news for a global economy straining under the weight of a resurgent pandemic is that Trump and his band, or maybe his gang, have not destroyed the liberal order, as many feared. They've left it battered and busted, but perhaps they've even prepared its defenses better for another economic assault from China. But anyone thinking that Joe Biden is simply planning to rebuild the U.S.-led order the way it might be, is in for a surprise. Trump's biggest legacy for many of those who run the global economy and invest in it will be late-night stress dreams about his chaotic policy making. Yet Trump and the economic generals, such as the U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer, have also scrambled the American politics of trade, opened the door to a new suite of tactics and tariffs, and brought to the fore what, in many cases, have been long-standing and bipartisan U.S. grievances. When Biden speaks of the need to build back better, he might be talking about the global economic order as well. It's something he and his advisors have mulled about for years. The system's resilience should not be the end to a comforting story. It should be the starting point of a badly needed effort to reinforce and update the international order and address the real threats of its long-term viability. Jake Sullivan, one of Biden's closest policy advisors, wrote in a 2018 Foreign Affairs article titled "The World After Trump." The words trade and economic order don't feature once in an economic recovery paper posted by the Biden transition team. Instead, the document echoes Trump's promise to restore U.S. industrial might. It vows to immobilize American manufacturing and innovation to ensure that the future is made in America. It also stresses the importance of bringing home critical supply chains and pledges to build a strong industrial base. That fits with what advisors say is Biden's plan to focus on making sure the U.S. approaches its relationships with everyone from China to allies in Europe from a position of domestic economic strength. Rather than relying on a new defensive trade barrier, as Trump has, Biden plans hinge on encouraging